Could we have the passage of St. John chapter 3, verse 3 to verse 7 read again?
Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. To be exposed and to be spiritual in the right sense of the word, you have to go through the new birth. And that's when Jesus Christ said that anyone that is born of the flesh, that is, you were brought to this world through being born of your mother. You are biological, you are physical. For you to become spiritual, you'll have to experience a different birth, that of the Spirit. Among the things that we pointed out last week is the fact that when Jesus Christ speaks there in the book of St. John, telling us that one must be born of the Spirit, of the water and of the Spirit. Jesus Christ wasn't talking of two different births. He was speaking of one born again, which involved both the water and the Spirit. Put another way, in this new birth, spiritual birth, water is going to play an important part, and the Holy Spirit will be playing an important part. And Jesus Christ was telling us that for any man or woman to become a child of God and to be exposed to God's spiritual blessing available in Christ, you must go through that spiritual birth. There is no way we can argue ourselves around it. You must experience that spiritual birth that Jesus Christ speaks of. Born of the Spirit is referring to the reception or the receiving of the Holy Spirit promise to every obedient sinner. Could you repeat that, Brother Mitchell? Thank you for asking. Born of the Spirit was referring to the reception, or referring to you as a penitent believer responding to the word of God to obey Him. When you complete that obedience in baptism, the Holy Spirit is given to you. When the Bible speaks of born of the Spirit, run to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 38, and Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14. We're looking on born of the Spirit. I said Acts 2, 38, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. But let us hear Acts chapter 2 first.
Then Peter said unto them.
Then Peter said unto them.
Repent.
Wait, Mr. Mitchell. Who are the people that were being addressed by Peter here? They were prospective converts. What do you mean by that, Brother Mitchell? They had listened to a sermon about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. They had listened to the sermon that tells them about their sin, their disobedience, and how the life that they live was contrary to God's will. They felt guilty, and rightly so. Wait. Nothing is wrong in feeling guilty. In fact, in spiritual thing, it is a wonderful thing to feel guilty in God's sight. So these people felt guilty and wanted to know what they should do about their sin that made them feel guilty. So let us hear Peter responding.
Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized.
That's right. If you acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you need forgiveness. Wait. You have always thought that you can pray, kneel down and pray, and that will deal with your sin. No, it cannot, unless you are a man or woman who have been born into God's family. That's right. You can pray all day, all week, all month, all year, if that were possible, and your sin would remain with you as when you started the first word in that prayer. Because merely praying as a sinner does not address your sin. You see, you need the blood of Jesus Christ to address your sin. And you don't get that blood to act for you until you are buried with Christ in the watery grave of baptism. So let us hear it now. Repent. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 38.
Repent.
Repent.
And be baptized.
That means get baptized.
Every one of you.
Not some of you. Every one of you. Repent and get baptized.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
It must be because Christ has commanded it. That's what that means. In the name of. Means on the authority or on the command of Jesus Christ. That's what that means. Read on.
For the remission of sins.
He's telling them now why they are to get baptized. He's telling them the reason behind getting baptized. He's telling them the purpose for which men and women must be baptized. They are commanded to be baptized
for the remission of sins.
Mr. Mitchell, what that mean, remission? That word remission means to remit. But Brother Mitchell, you just complicate the business more. The word remit means to remove, to put away, to get rid of. So men and women are informed, commanded to get baptized to put away their sins. That's God's purpose for baptism. But there's another purpose for baptism, for getting baptized.
And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
You see, don't get mixed up here. You don't get baptized to receive the Holy Ghost. Truly. The primary purpose for getting baptized is to deal with your sin. Once your sins are dealt with, then God is going to give you the Holy Ghost as a gift. Once your sins are addressed, then the Holy Ghost will be given to you as a gift. And you know what? That Holy Ghost will live with you as long as you remain a faithful Christian. As long as you go through life, the Holy Spirit given to you as a gift will work with you, opening your understanding daily to understand little by little the will of God. But you must walk in the light or you must remain faithful. Are we all there? Are we all there? Repent and get baptized for the removal of your sin. There's another passage. Remember, I came to this passage to show that when the Bible speaks about being born of the Spirit, that is referring to the work that the Holy Spirit carries out in our lives once we are baptized. It is both instantaneous and progressive. That is, when a man or a woman get baptized, right then and there, when you are buried in the water and come forth to walk in newness of life, right then and there, the Almighty God in His own way cleanse you from all your past sins. That happened right there. Are you saying, Mr. Mitchell, that I come from the water like a holy, sinless person? Yes. But then, as you come from that water and begin to live the Christian life, you will make mistakes. Not because you plan to make mistakes, but a lot of time out of ignorance, you think things that you didn't know were sinful, you do things and say things. Watch here, watch here. Right along, the Holy Spirit will keep guiding you as long as you live. Listen, the other passage, I think it is Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, if I'm not wrong, I need around verse 32 or somewhere there. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5.
And we are his witnesses.
Peter speaking says, we are his witnesses.
Of these things.
Witnesses of these things, we the apostles. Are witness of these things.
And so is also the Holy Ghost.
Not only are we witness, but the Holy Ghost is also a witness.
Whom God hath given to them that obey him.
Wait, somebody didn't hear that. The Holy Ghost.
Whom God hath given to them.
The same Holy Ghost that God gives to a particular group of people. Not to everybody, but to them that
obey him.
Everybody heard that? So the prospective convert who turn over his or her life to Jesus Christ Immediately, the Holy Spirit is given to you to work with you throughout the rest of your life. What is the Holy Spirit's interest? Guiding you, that you land at the judgment seat the way God wants you to land there, as a child of His. So when the Bible speaks about born of the Spirit, it is in reference to receiving the Holy Spirit, or referring to the Holy Spirit being given to you at your conversion, and the Holy Spirit remaining to work with you throughout your life. Watch here. Now, when you contrast that, the Holy Spirit being given, that is done by God. I need to repeat that. But we want to contrast that which is done by God with that which is done by man. You see, giving the Holy Spirit is done by God. Look now by that and that which is done by man. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, verse 16. Acts 22, 16.
And now, why tarriest thou?
Now, here is a preacher addressing Saul, whose name going to be changed somewhere in the Bible here, and we're going to call him Paul. So we are speaking of Saul of Tarsus. We are the person that is being spoken to by the preacher Ananias. Read.
And now, why tarriest thou?
And now, why wait?
Arise.
Wait, take time with me now. You know that question is being asked to you right now? If you are in the audience and if you are not a child of God, Jesus Christ is beckoning to you. Why are you waiting? Truly. Remember, in fact, Saul was praying. And you say, but Mr. Mitchell, that's a good thing. Prayer is not always a good thing. Did I hear the preacher say that? You heard me right. I can go in the Bible and show you many people who were praying at a time that their moment did not call for prayer. From Old to New Testament, where angel had to wake them up and tell them, this is not the time for prayer. You see, when Saul was here praying, that was not the time for prayer. Arise.
And be baptized.
And get baptized. Wait. Getting baptized at this moment had priority over praying. Wait. Say it another way, Mr. Mitchell. This was not the time for prayer. You need first to get your sins address, dealt with, remove before you have the privilege of prayer. Mr. Mitchell, you are confusing me. Well, let me unconfuse you. You don't have the right of prayer until you give Jesus Christ the chance to deal with your sin. Did you hear that? I'm trying to remember, brother. Is it 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12? Where his ears are turned away from their prayer. 3:12? Thank you, Micah. Let us have it. Quickly.
For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous.
Wait. We want everybody's attention. These brought that I give some time make my sermon last a little longer, and some of the things I planned for this sermon have to left over. But these brothers are important. You see, we have just told you that you don't have the right. In fact, you cannot approach God as a mere sinner. Mr. Mitchell, you are confusing me. You cannot. You see, our sin stands between us and God. On one occasion when the Israelites were wondering, remember they were God's people, wondering how come God is not responding to their prayer. The Almighty God told them their sin was the problem. You get it? And the Bible tells us that we do not have access to God's throne of grace and mercy until the blood of Jesus Christ have cleansed our sin. So let the inspired writer Peter, yes, what the brother is reading here is from the inspired writer. He was sort of the chief spokesperson among Jesus' apostles. And what he said there, brother?
For the eyes of the Lord,
the eyes of the Lord,
are over the righteous.
What?
Are over the righteous.
What?
Are over the righteous.
Let us hear about the unrighteous now. Continue reading.
And his ears are open unto their prayers.
We are glad that he speaks about prayer. Everybody hear that? Everybody hear that? God's ears is what?
Open unto their prayers.
Open to their prayers. But
the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
Everybody hear that? You hear that for yourself? Huh? So we don't make up these things. I'm almost tempted to run to St. John 9:31. Run to it, no brother. Run to or walk to it. Because people are always confused. People believe them and God are just equal. They can just go and pray to God. No, you don't have that right until you have gotten your sins dealt with through Christ's blood in baptism. St. John 9:23. Wait, you have just read the passage in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12-13, that God's ears are open to the prayer of the righteous, but to them that do evil, God's ears is turned against that. So it's another passage in the book of St. John chapter 9, verse 31 that you are reading. Let us hear it.
Now we know.
We no guess, we no feel. Now we know.
That God heareth not sinners.
You sure that is in your Bible, brother? Take time, read it. Let me hear again.
Now we know that God heareth not sinners.
Where are you reading from again?
John 9:31.
John, St. John that is. And it is chapter 9. And it is verse 31. What it says again?
Now we know that God heareth not sinners.
But let me hear if it says anything more.
But if any man be a worshipper of God.
What?
But if any man be a worshipper of God.
Wait. You notice worshipper of God. It doesn't mean... It doesn't mean to come to church Christmas and Easter and Mother's Day. Wait, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and will be mothers. Genuinely, happy Mother's Day. I'm almost tempted to say some more on that, but I'll never finish this sermon today if I keep giving you brata. Now we know, not we guess or feel, we know that God does not hear
sinners.
Sinners, whom does he here. But if any man be a
worshipper of
that
God,
that means worship must become a part of your life. A worshipper.
And doeth his will.
And practice his will.
Him he heareth.
Everybody hear that? Huh? So, you get the point, brothers and sisters? Remember where we left from? Saul was praying in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, verse 16. And the preacher who went to convert him said what?
And now.
Now.
Why tarriest thou?
Why wait?
Arise.
Arise.
And be baptized.
That is the urgent call for thing at the moment. Not only for Saul, but for you if you are not a Christian. If you have not given your life to Jesus Christ. If you have not been baptized to get under the influence of the blood of Christ. That is the urgent thing now. Get up. It says arise and get baptized for the removal of your sin. This part is done by the sinner. Getting the Holy Spirit is done by God. He's the one who gives you the Holy Spirit. But getting in the water to be baptized is your responsibility once you have been taught. May we look here. In most places where the Holy Spirit speaks of being born again, it speaks of the subject as a radical, revolutionary change in one's life. Let us hear St. John chapter 3, verse 3.
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again.
In fact, you know what? Let me ask for some passage. You have Titus, whole St. John chapter 3, verse 3, Titus chapter 3, verse 5, James chapter 1, verse 18, 1 Peter 1, 23. And these passages is the process prescribed by Jesus Christ to address our sin problem and to undergo this radical change that the Holy Spirit referred to as born again. Now, let us hear verse 3.
Not by works of righteousness.
No. Same St. John.
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Except a man be born again. Ladies and gentlemen, this was talking about getting baptized. But it's not just getting baptized. You don't just go in the water and be buried. There must be a change in your mind. There must be a change in your attitude towards God, towards God's word, toward your life, how you're going to conduct that life. You see, so it's not merely just getting in the water. A change must take place in your very attitude. How you see sin, or you see yourself and living without Christ, all of that is involved. That's why it is a born again. And listen, on the same point, listen, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5.
Not by works of righteousness.
Not by works
of righteousness.
Wait. Do you hear that? You do all the nice, decent, kind work, moral uprightness that you can, and that's good. But that will not address your sin problem. You see, I want to write on the board, but I messed it up already. You see, not by works of righteousness, and that is many men and women mistaking their decency, their niceness, their kindness for righteousness. You cannot get righteousness until you have gotten under the influence of the blood of Jesus Christ. Continue reading Titus.
Which we have done.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done.
But according to his mercy.
Watch here now. According to the mercy of God.
He saved us.
He saved us.
By the washing.
What, brother?
By the washing.
Wait. We are going to wash some clothes? No. We are going to get washed. By the washing of?
Of regeneration.
Wait, the word regeneration means born again, rebirth. And what this passage is telling us, that there is a washing, a cleansing that takes place in regeneration. That is baptism. That's where it takes place. Wait. Oh, Mr. Mitchell, so that's why we go under the water. Yes, but look here. It's not the water that cleanses us. You must be buried in the water. Not because we say so, but because Jesus Christ commanded. But you're buried in the water to get under the influence of Christ's blood. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses. Are we there? The washing of regeneration. Are we all there?
And renewing of the Holy Ghost.
And renewing
of the Holy Ghost.
You see, that is ongoing, you know. The renewing of the Holy Ghost, that is both instantaneous and progressive. It starts at baptism, but a child of God is continually being renewed. Oh, Lord. Look here. We have to cut this sermon short. Did somebody say, Brother Mitchell, it is already long? Anyway. Yes. Let me show you, brother, why Jesus Christ. I think you can read it. I write it big enough that new life or being born again. That is, being born again is where the new spiritual life begins. Over here, I am dealing with the physical aspect of us coming into this world. Over here, I'm showing the comparative spiritual aspect. And what I'm showing is that some of the factors, when Jesus Christ referred to becoming a Christian as being born again, it's because being born physically, biologically, and being born spiritually, they share some of the same factors. Let us run through them. Okay. For you and for me to be here, as living human being, we were born. Is that right? Everybody knows that. That involves a male factor. the man or the sperm that comes from his body. Are we all there? That's the male factor. In that biological, physical birth, it involves also a woman or the female factor. Are we all there? That is a must. In that physical birth, it involves also the seed factor. That is the sperm that the man produces. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in the spiritual birth, called born again, those factors have to play a part. In the same way, in the physical birth, there was a male factor. So it is in the spiritual birth. The male factor in the spiritual birth is the Holy Spirit. That's right. That's right. That's the male factor. The Holy Spirit plays the part of the male in the spiritual birth. Run to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. Let just hear that passage. You see, I'm trying to cut through some of this. When I finish with this, the lesson will be yours. I said 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through verse 25. Read it, let us hear it.
Being born again.
Wait. You see, it's not only Jesus Christ who speak about being born again. Christ, but here Peter is speaking on the same subject. Listen, being born again.
Not of corruptible seed.
I was about to ask Chad, but since Chad is young, you notice that being born involved seed. You notice that? And that is common both to physical, biological birth, as well as to spiritual. Because what Peter is dealing with here is not biological or physical birth. Peter is talking about the spiritual birth. Being born, notice he used the word again. But he's making sure that we are not confused. Being born again.
Not of corruptible seed.
Not of corruptible seed.
But of incorruptible.
But of incorruptible.
By the word of God.
That's the seed, brother. Everybody gets it? You don't want it plainer than that. So you see, in the same thing you have in physical, biological birth, in the spiritual birth, you have the male factor, and that is the Holy Spirit. And this the female factor, are we all here? Is the water. That's right. That's right. You see, I abbreviated your prayer from WTR. That is, I was abbreviating water. Yes, you see, so the water plays the female part in the spiritual birth. But wait, no. Now, the seed factor, we have just been told what that is. That is the word. Huh? So in the same way in us being born, it calls for a male factor, a female factor, a seed factor. Same way in Christ's spiritual birth. The male factor is the Holy Spirit. The female factor is the watery grave of baptism. And the seed factor is the word of God. I wish I have time to say more on the subject. I don't have time for this, but let me just throw it out. I intend for us to look at the business of quitting, being made alive. Wait, no. And that is talking to human beings who were physically alive. The Bible gives the idea that is when we become Christian, we are quickened. That is, we are made spiritually alive. While we walk and can go about our business, we are dead spiritually if we are not Christian. But we don't have time to go to this passage. We don't have time to look on the law of likeness. We don't have time to look on the image of God that is inside of every one of us. But at present, until a man or a woman submit his or her life to Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God that is in us, that Spirit is crushed and is dormant. It is in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ that the spiritual part of God that is in us going to be revived and be made alive through obedience to the gospel of Christ. Today you can take step to be spiritually born. You having heard that Jesus Christ died for your sin and that you are a sinner, if you want your sins to be dealt with by Jesus Christ, you must make up your mind to turn from sin and turn to righteousness. The Bible calls that repentance. You must make up your mind to dethrone yourself and put Jesus Christ on the throne of your life. You must repent, be willing to confess belief in Christ, be willing to submit yourself to be baptized with a resolve to walk in newness of life. You can respond to Jesus' word of grace and mercy today, right now, and you know what? You need Jesus Christ. You need Christ right now, not tomorrow. Because if tomorrow finds you in debt and you do not give your life to Christ, you would be entering the worst phase of your life. But you know what? Christ doesn't want you to go to that phase without submitting to his will. So in a few seconds or minutes, we'll be standing to sing a song. We usually refer to it as the invitation song. It's a chance for you. Remember, we told you when we read, when Paul was told, ask rather, why tarry? That is, why wait? Get up and get baptized. We are saying, the Almighty God is asking you that same question right now. Why wait? Whoever is telling you to wait is not Christ. Jesus Christ is telling you, you must right now get up and get baptized with a resolve to follow in Christ. You must, to have yourself freed from sin, through God's forgiveness, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You can do that now. We are here to help you. Jesus Christ is ready to not only welcome you, but to forgive you of your sin when you obey the gospel. Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him.